Welcome to another life-changing message from Pastor Vernell J.R. Samuel of Hungry for God Church. For more information, please visit our website, www.h4gchurch.com.
Amen. It's nothing like community. No matter, don't let anybody fool you. You know, as much as we, the Word of God talks about, we cannot do life alone. You know, it's so true. I just read a study the other day where it talked about AA meetings where alcoholics, they go to these meetings and they found out that a big part of alcoholics getting free from their addiction was not just showing up to these meetings and getting psychology and treatment and all that, but a big part of their freedom, they said, was the community. That once they got connected to other people and others who believed in them, that they can get free. That was like the breakthrough that they needed. That once they got around others who were walking with them and they found people that believed in them, even when they believed in each other's own breakthrough, they said that that was the significant difference to allowing these men or women who were addicted to alcohol to get free. And not only is that just for alcohol, I really believe that's for any struggle in your life. Any struggle in your life that you need freedom and deliverance from, you can try to get free on your own, but I'm telling you, that's not how you get free. Freedom comes in walking in community and walking in the light, walking with others who also have similar stories like you, amen? That's the power, once again, of community. And so we want to challenge this church to continue to grow. We've just came out of our last series, No Perfect People Allowed, amen? That was a great one. And a lot of people were saying they wanted me to stay there. On that series, so we're gonna do another series similar to that real soon. But the Lord led me this direction. This month we're gonna be talking about money. Now, if we talk about money, I like that response because I believe that every time we enter into a new series, we enter into a new season. And if that season is God saying, "Hey, I want to talk about money," it's because God has money on His mind. And if God has money in His mind concerning you, because He knows it's on your mind, God is getting ready to do some things in your life financially. Come on, who wants that? Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, we're excited about that. We're going to move as one into this revelation. We're talking about money, so the series is called Money Talks. And I want to start off by reading a passage of scripture, 1 Kings chapter 17. I want to read this story in the Bible, and I'm going to just give you guys a real basic overview, but I believe that God is going to use me in this series as a financial deliverer to some of you. It's important that you understand. The Bible says, and there's a scripture that says, "Believe the Lord your God and believe His prophets, and so shall you prosper." So it's important that whenever God wants to bring deliverance to anyone, the Bible talks about the people of Israel who were in captivity to the Egyptians, and they were crying out for deliverance. And God's response to their cry for deliverance was raising up Moses to be a deliverer for them. That God didn't deliver them by Himself. He sent someone to them, and that was the way they got free. So oftentimes, you may want God to deliver you or set you free or bring you into new places or new levels in Him. And the way He begins that process is by sending someone to you with the keys, with the grace, whatever it is, the wisdom that you need in order to get free. You know, we're the body, right? He uses people to do His will on the earth. Now watch this passage of scripture, 1 Kings 17. I'm reading from the New King James Version, verse 8. And the Bible says this: "Then the word of the Lord came to him, 'Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to feed you.' So he arose Elijah the prophet. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, bring me a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to bring it, he called to her and said, bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. And she said, as the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. And now I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. Okay, so let's pause there. Thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you for the penetration of the word, the entrance of the word that brings light into our hearts, your word says. Thank you, God, that it orders our steps. It deletes our errors, and it corrects our ways, God, so that we can begin to grow in grace and we can accomplish more than we can ever accomplish. You said, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that's proceeding out of your mouth. So I thank you for the word that's proceeding out of your mouth through my mouth to the hearts of your people, and may it fall on good ground today and produce 30, 60 to 100-fold blessings into the hearts of those who are ready to receive this word. We thank you, God, for deliverance today in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So here it is, the backdrop of this story. There's a famine in the land. You can say there's a recession in the land. And it was really bad. This woman, as you can hear her story, she's a widow. She had a son. She had a child. She had a son. And she had no more money. She had no more resources. All she had left was what? Flour and oil, and a little bit at that. So you can say she was stressed out. You can say she was full of anxiety, worry. As a matter of fact, she was getting ready to give up her life. This situation seemed impossible to her financially. Okay? She had no means. She had no, I don't know what she did, but she was a widow, which meant that she had her the provider in the family was dead. Okay? So what this woman is experiencing is what so many people today in America still experience, or around the world. Financial problems. She had a financial crisis in her life. In different areas, some of us maybe in this place might experience the pain of debt, and so much debt that you feel is insurmountable, right? We understand that the blessing of the Lord is supposed to make us rich and adds no sorrow or griefs, but many of us might be feeling like we got sorrow and griefs, and we're like, where's that blessing? Where's that blessing? Why is it not at work in my life? Anybody ever been there? Well, you've been wondering, where's the blessing, right? The Bible says he will make us the head and not the tail. He'll make our cups overflow. Come on. Some of us got some cups that don't even want to be in our hands. Our cups want to run away from us. All right? The Bible talks about how we're supposed to be the lenders and not the borrowers, but we got to borrow from Peter to pay Paul, right? And so we got this stuff going on. Instead of blessings overtaking us, debt collectors are overtaking us. All right? This specific woman was on her last leg. She basically was saying, I'm giving up. I don't see any way out of this situation. But the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the middle of this famine, in the middle of this recession, said, Elijah, who also needed a breakthrough, Elijah, I'm sending you to this place called Zarephath, and you're going to find a widow who I'm going to prepare to take care of you. The woman that God raised up to take care of Elijah didn't even have barely anything left for herself. How is she going to take care of somebody else and she doesn't even have anything? This brings us into the logic of God, right? God takes the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Come on. He takes the weak things to confound or confuse the strong. So Elijah goes at the word of the Lord. When the woman says, listen, I only got a handful of flour, a little oil. I'm about to get some sticks, start a fire, make this last bread for me and my son to eat it and die. Verse 13, and Elijah says to her, don't be afraid. Look at somebody next to you and say, don't be afraid. Go and do as you said, but first, make me a little cake of it and bring it to me. And afterward, make something for yourself and your son also. Now, this sounds kind of selfish of Elijah, right? She just said, I don't have but a little bit of flour and oil. You're telling me to bake something for you and me and my son don't have anything else? This sounds offensive. It sounds like some prophet trying to take somebody's money. Right? But Elijah is getting ready to introduce this woman to the economy of God. You might have heard us before say this, that what money is to the earth, faith is to heaven. Money is the currency of earth, but faith is the currency of heaven. And the only way you can actually see God's work in your life is if you enter into a realm or location of faith. Because if you can do anything in your own strength, you don't require God. You need God when you can't do it in your own strength, when it's beyond your ability, when it's beyond your means, when it's beyond your intellect, when it's beyond your credentials. You need God to step in and to do what only He can do. And that's how God gets the glory from you, because you are aware that I couldn't do this. It was God. So sometimes God waits for us to get to the point where we can't turn to anybody else. We don't have a plan B. We don't have a plan C. We don't have a plan D. Come on, God is my only plan because I have no other way to make it out of this. Come on. So now this woman is in this place. And I'm telling you, if you're in that position, you are in a place where you can see the hand of God in your life. God showed me about 2 years ago. He says, favor never looks like favor in the beginning. I'll say it again. Favor never looks like favor at first. When God wants to give you favor, it looks like a crisis. Joseph had favor, but what happened to him? His family turned his back on him. His family threw him into the pit so that he can die. Joseph goes into a prison trying to do the right thing. But all along, God was setting him up for favor and promotion in Egypt. Favor doesn't look like favor at first. Mary got pregnant with Jesus. The angel said, you're pregnant. Mary then looks and says, how is it going to happen? I've never had intercourse with anyone. God, the angel said to Mary, Mary, you are blessed and highly favored. You are favored. Although that favor meant she was going to be ostracized, ridiculed, talked about by people in her community because she got pregnant before she was married. But God favored her. Favor doesn't look like favor in the beginning. So when you see situations that are beyond your control, I want you to realize that God is getting ready to turn that bad case, that unfavorable circumstance into an opportunity for His hand to move in your life. Come on. The Bible says when Jesus started His ministry, He opened up His ministry with the mission statement of His life, which was in Luke 4:18 when He was reading Isaiah 61. Remember, He said, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because He's anointed me to preach good news to who? The poor. The Spirit of God. God is upon me. He's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Now, what would be good news to the poor? Good news to the poor is you don't have to be poor anymore. And Jesus said, the Lord has, God has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. Why? Because when I preach this good news to you, it's going to give you the power to get out of poverty. Come on. Jesus is concerned about the financial state of his people. He does not want us poor. He wants us blessed. He wants us rich. He wants us prosperous. The gospel message is a prosperity message. And why is he going to attack poverty first? Because he understands all the other ramifications that come with being poor. I preach the good news to the poor, and I'm going to heal the brokenhearted, because most of your broken hearts come from not having money. Come on. I'm going to open the blind eyes. I'm going to turn your life around. But he started with the issue, right? That's why Jesus spoke about money. He spoke about money more than he spoke about heaven, more than he spoke about hell. He spoke about money. Because Jesus understood, if I can get you to flip your understanding about your need for money, and I'm going to teach you how money really works, I'm going to teach you how you don't have to worry about provision any longer, I'm going to break you out of the scarcity mindset, I'm going to teach you how to live an abundant life, if you learn how to renew your mind and trust me, God says, I will bless you and I'll make you the head and not the tail. But it has to do with this. So we have to talk about money in the church. Don't let anybody tell you, oh, why is your pastor talking about money? Church is for the spiritual stuff. You should leave money out of it. Listen, money is spiritual, church. Money answers all things, right? The Bible says. Money is, say with me, money is spiritual. It's a spiritual thing. Listen, without money, we can't further. We can't go and bring the gospel and bring the good news to people. I say all that to say, because look at what happened with Elijah. Elijah goes to this woman and says, don't be afraid. First, make me something to eat. Then, take care of yourself and your son. Verse 14, why? For thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel. This is why I'm telling you to do this. Because this is the word of the Lord. You see? One word from God can change your finances. One word from the Lord can change your financial life. Elijah said, this is the word of the Lord to you. That jar of flour shall not be wasted, and the jug of oil shall not go empty until the day the Lord sends rain back on the earth. And she went and she did what Elijah said. And she and her son and her household ate for many days. The jar of flour was not spent, neither did the jug of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord that he spoke by Elijah. This woman saw a miracle in her home. The oil and the flour that she thought was going to be wasted by the end of the day was supernaturally supplied. She went from scarcity to surplus. At the word of the Lord. God multiplied this. Just like he turned water into wine. Just like he was able to multiply bread and fish. Elijah was able to do the same thing. But it's the same principle. Because guess what? In all of those incidents that I've mentioned, in this case, she had no more. The people who had only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, it wasn't enough to feed everybody. When they ran out of wine, Jesus took water, turned it into wine. Each of those instances, they didn't have enough of what they needed. So what did God require in each of those instances? He didn't say, well, take your 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish and go back. We need more. He didn't tell this woman, all right, because you don't have, you can't give. But what he got her to do was to turn her need, watch this, into a seed. He got her to take the little that she had, which wasn't enough anyway. He said, if what you have in your hand is not enough, you might as well take that and turn it into a seed. I want you to feed me first, because once you give, the Bible says it shall be given back to you. Now, this is harder than it seems like, right? Because if I don't have anything and you tell me to give, I'm no longer thinking from a place of lack. See, he got her to now, although she didn't have, according to her, she thought she didn't have, he got her to get out of lack, to get out of scarcity, to get out of a famine mindset, and says, no, let's get into the economy of God. God doesn't need your money. God doesn't need your bread, your flour or oil. But watch this. He needs your faith. He got her to use her faith in the very place where she thought she didn't have anything else to give. And then she turned her need into a seed, and that was what prospered her in the famine. This is the economy of God. Most of us, we only give when it's convenient to us. We feel like, well, when I have enough, I'll give. When I have extra, I'll give. But I'm telling you right now, God wants to take the very area in your life where you feel you don't have anything to give. God says, no, I want you to give from that place. Because see, God is not dealing with money, or he's not dealing with the amount as much as he's dealing with the percentage. If he can get you to take, if you can take the little that you have, the flour and the oil, and say, I want you to give this to me and trust me with it. It doesn't matter how much you have. All it requires is God said, I just want you to mix your faith with your finances. I want you to mix your faith with this thing called money. Luke 16, verse 10. I want you to turn with that really, really quick. Luke 16, verse 10. Watch this. The Bible talks about, Jesus gives one of my favorite parables in the Bible, and it changed the way I looked at money, one of the verses that changed the way I looked at money. But watch this, Luke 16, verse 10. One who is faithful, he who is faithful in what is least, is faithful also in much. And he who was unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Verse 11. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, which he's talking about money, who will commit to your trust the true riches? Jesus said, money and faith, how can I say it? Using your faith to take care or to help you get through or to deal with your finances is the least thing you can do. If you can trust God with your finances, or if you can't trust God with your finances, you cannot trust God with anything else in your life. We kind of put it off and say, well, you know, only people that have money, we talk about money with them. No. We need to talk to people who, if they don't even have a job, we talk to you about money. He said, if you can be faithful with the least of these, the little, if you can deal with money, if you can learn to trust me with money, then I can trust you with true riches. Which means that if people want to be spiritual, they want to prophesy, they want to go to the nations, they want to raise the dead, they want to do all this stuff. But the Bible says, God looks to see if you can be trusted with that level of anointing, if you can manage your money. If I can trust you to steward money according to my will, according to my purpose. It's very important. If you want to learn how to walk in the supernatural, you have to learn how to walk with financial integrity, and you need to understand God's will regarding your finances. Money is important. You cannot serve God and mammon, the Bible says. Why did Jesus connect money and God in the same category? Because for many people, money is their God. How? Because money is the basis for your decision making. Whatever controls your decisions is your God. People don't come to church because they don't have money. You think God is pleased with that? God's not pleased with that. When the enemy attacks your finances, it's because he's attacking your worship. You can't worship God if you stress out about money every day. Because your mind is wrapped up around all the needs, right? You got rent, you got your mortgage, you got, you know, ballet classes for the kids, you got this and that. You got all this stuff going on that you need money for, and when you don't have it, your mind is wrapped up on that. So the word of the Lord says, I will set my people free financially. It's going to happen for you if you believe it. God does not want you to be at the bottom. God does not want you to be stressed out. God does not want you to be anxious for that stuff. God wants to prosper you so that you won't have to worry about it. Come on. Come on, this is your inheritance. So he says, don't waste your faith worrying about money. But I'm going to show you but how you use money. How you use it is the key to your breakthrough. My final verse I'm going to show you. Turn with me really quick to Luke chapter 5. So we see the widow got her blessing and her breakthrough. Not by holding on to the little that she had left, but by finding a way to give in the midst of her famine. Watch this. Luke chapter 5, one of my favorite passages of scripture. Well, verse 1. So it was as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God. To hear what? When the multitude, this is talking about Jesus, the crowd pressed on him to hear the word. And I'm praying for that day to return, the people will press in to hear the word again because they understood there was a connection between the word and the miraculous. They pressed to hear the word. That he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, verse 2, and he saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets, verse 3. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon Peter's, and asked him to go out a little far from the land, and then he sat down and he taught the multitudes from the boat. I love this because it shows how the people actually set themselves up to see a miracle. By pressing in for a word from Jesus, they were able to witness a miracle. Verse 4. When he had stopped, hallelujah. When he had stopped speaking, he turned around to Simon and said, Simon, launch out into the deep end and let down your nets for a catch. Jesus is preaching and then he stops. He says, I want to show people how the word really works. Go, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. You see the word nets? Write that, highlight that, nets. Verse 5. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have labored and worked all night and we caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your what? At your what? At your word, I will let down the net. Some of you have been toiling and working, and you've been so busy trying to make ends meet. Working, 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 working. Nothing seems to be working. Peter, here's an instruction from the Lord. God says, Peter, you now go. Let down the nets. Notice Jesus said nets. But when Peter responded and said, nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. He let down one net. Jesus said, let down nets. According to his faith, God was thinking abundance. He was still thinking too small. But guess what? At the word, Jesus said, my word will not return unto me void. It will accomplish everything that it sets out to do. So now Peter says, all right, I'll do it just because you said so. But working, and nothing seems to be working. Verse 6. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. He said, nets, not net. So they could only catch what they could have caught. They would have caught way more if they would have followed the word of the Lord. But they only caught what the net was able to catch. And that net broke. So guess what happened? Verse 7. They ran, the net broke. Next verse. At my word. Verse 7. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and they filled both the boats so that they all began to sink. Jesus. Come on. A boat sinking catch of fish just at the word of God. You mean to tell me the word of God is that powerful? That if I follow God's word and God's instructions about what he wants me to do with my finances, that it can bless me in ways that anything else I do in my own strength can't do? You mean to tell me I'm wasting time and years and energy, blood, sweat, and tears trying to make ends meet? If I can just simply get in with what God wants me to do with his finances, that God will bless me to the point where I can have more than enough, where I can have abundance? Come on, and the answer is yes. Come on, God wants to prosper you, church. This was Jesus. This was Simon's encounter with Jesus, the same Peter who became the one who he said, I will build my church on. This is how God changed Peter's life, blessing him financially. He didn't wait for him to be saved yet either. Because look at the next verse. When Simon saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. Peter wasn't saved. This is how he got Peter to come to him. By blessing his socks off. Blessing him to the point where he fell to his knees saying, God, you are too good. Come on, I really believe that this is where God wants to take the church. Because we feel like we have to be perfect. We have to be doing everything right before God blesses us. No, church. This widow in 1 Kings, she wasn't even a Jew. She was outside of the covenant. Jesus rebuked the Jews when he preached in Luke 4. If you go back to the chapter before, he said to them, there were many widows in Jerusalem who also were starving, but Elijah wasn't sent to them. God sent Elijah to this woman who was outside of Israel, who wasn't even a Jew, sent him to her because he knew that she had something in her heart that he loves, and that's faith. She was going to be willing to believe the word. My point is, we have to realize God actually does care about our financial life. He actually cares about what's going in and out of our bank account. And God actually has a plan to set us up to be the head and not the tail financially. He has a plan to prosper us, but we have to be willing to give our finances to God and say, God, this is not mine, it's yours. If I put this in your hands, I know you're able to prosper it. I'm going to follow your word, and I'm going to do what you say to do. I'm not going to sit there and try to do anything in my own strength anymore. God, I'm going to ask for a word. See? I'm going to ask for a word. You tell me what to do. Give me a revelation. Where do you want me to put my money? Peter got a word. The widow got a word. Both of them were blessed supernaturally. Come on, say, I'm expecting a supernatural return on the investment of my faith. Come on, look at somebody next to you. Say, expect a supernatural return on the investment of your faith. Find one more person and tell them that. I am expecting a supernatural return on the investment of my faith. Did you receive that? Come on. Woo! Yeah, all right. Don't leave God out of your money no more. Don't leave him out of your finances. Anything that concerns you financially, God is getting ready to invade it. God is getting ready to release a blessing on it. His hand is about to move in your life. Why? Because God needs you to be blessed. I will bless you so that you can be a blessing. God needs to bless you so that you can be a blessing. You can't be a blessing without the blessing. And the blessing needs to be at work in your life. Come on. So anything in your life right now you think is impossible. You know, I've been working hard. Nothing has been happening. I don't know where the money's going to come from. Good. Now mix your faith with God's word. I feel like I need to take an offering right now. I just felt that. I want you to get a seed in your hand right now. This is not what I have prepared to give. That's Lord. I see this happening. As you sense it, you gotta sense the anointing. Sense the anointing. Many of you have tried everything. You tried different stuff. But I'm telling you, there is an anointing in this moment. God wants to bring you into a level of faith. I don't know everyone in this room. You have a need. You have a debt. You have something that you need God's favor to be on. You know you can't do it. You don't have the money to do it. I sense that God is getting ready to show you that he is the Lord your God who will provide and who will take care of you. But it's going to start with you stepping out of faith. So this offering is not, you're just going to sow this to the church. You're going to sow this into the house of God. But this place is good ground. And I really believe that any area of your life, if you don't have a need financially, then don't give at this time. But if you are in this moment and you know you have a need, you know that there's something you're believing God for. Maybe you believe in God for a house. You're believing God for a car. You're believing God for your current house. You believe in God to cancel and to forgive you of some debts. I'm praying right now that as you sow in this moment and as you sow in this atmosphere, at my word, God is going to deliver you. You're going to see a supernatural release and favor on your life. Come on, I'm telling you right now, God's angels are moving. God's water is stirring the water right now. And I'm telling you right now, come on, we just want you to come right now. Get something in your hand. Get something. And according to your faith, if you want to release one net, release one net. If you want to release nets, release nets. But I want you to give something sacrificially, supernaturally. Come on, I'm seeing God beginning to invade your life. Come on, whether it's finances for education, finances for your children's, maybe it's for a medical concern, a medical bill. I'm seeing medical bills being cleared right now. Come on, I'm seeing medical bills being taken care of. Come on, at the letting down of your net. At the letting down of your net. This is a law. This is a law of faith. Come on, even for your house. You're believing God for your house. Just sow a seed right now. Woo! Hallelujah. Oshanamasiye. Woo! the stories I love to share is when my wife and I were getting married, and some of you guys heard me sell this, but it's one of my favorite testimonies. I've seen God do many things for me financially, but one of my favorite stories of what God did for us was that when I proposed to my wife, many of you don't know, I wasn't working. And it was in between jobs. I didn't have a job. You talk about faith. And if you know Shanique, Shanique likes to do stuff big. So at one point after I proposed, we were at a service. I proposed the day before Valentine's Day. So this was February 13th. We were at a service, we were at a church service the end of that month. And we were getting ready to put down a down payment for the reception hall that she wanted. The reception hall she wanted to go to. I'm like, you got to get this place, right? So I said, God, we got to work something out here. I need a miracle. So we were getting ready, before we went to the service, we were getting ready to put the down payment down for the reception hall. And for whatever reason, we didn't give it to them. So we had the check. We didn't give it to them. I think I told us, so let's look at another place or two before we do it, before we put the down payment. Because we were rushing. And so we had it. She had the check in her bag. We went to the service. And in the service, the man of God that was preaching, it was a powerful meeting, and then he asked everyone to sow a sacrificial seed. And what's that, Shanique? Okay, yes. So she's going to tell it like it is. He said, sow a seed of $1,000. That was the exact number he said. Right? Now, ironically, the check that we had written out was $1,000. So I turned to her and said, babe, let's sow this $1,000. So Shanique was saying, no, that's my money for the reception hall. I said, babe, there's a reason why we did not give it. There's a reason why we didn't give it. But I said, we got it, and he asked for specifically for $1,000. We have $1,000. Let's give it. So after much coercing and tears, literally, because Shanique started crying. Not because of the anointing. she was crying because she was mad, but she couldn't resist. Like, I said, no, we got to give this. There's a reason why we want to give it. So I took the $1,000 check, and we sold it. Walked away. Like, all right, God. Shanique was mad. But I believe God. Before the month was over, because it was the end of the month, so it was pretty much the end of the week. By the end of next week, that $1,000 seed we gave returned back to us as a $10,000 seed that we were not expecting. We got back 10,000, I got back 10 times more than I gave, more than we gave, because we gave at the word of the Lord. Come on, you can't beat God's giving. God doesn't need your money, but what he wants is your faith. He just wants to see, will you trust me? Come on, will you trust me? Will you step out? Come on, will you do something that's beyond your comfort zone, that goes beyond your current needs? Will you do it? That's what God wants to reward, your faith. So when you sow the seed, you're sowing your faith into it. Come on. And God is looking, he says, there it is. That's my son. That's my daughter. A man, a woman of faith. We got back $10,000 one week later. That covered the cost of the banquet hall. Almost. Come on. He's not doing that because I'm special. He's doing it because we did it at his word. God wants to show you, show off in your life. Amen? Come on, it's breakthrough season at Hungry for God Church. Come on, I want you to rejoice right now, knowing that whatever you sow right now in this moment is coming back to you. Come on, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. Hallelujah!
This concludes another life-changing teaching from Hungry for God Church. For social media updates and more teachings from our pastors and leaders, please visit our site, h4gchurch.com.